Welcome. Good afternoon. It's so wonderful to see everyone here this afternoon. God has given us a beautiful day, which we can come together as friends, as family, relatives, as our church family, to remember our beloved brother, Harold. It's good for us to be together. We've come together to remember and honor our dear friend, husband, father, and our beloved brother in the Lord, Harold. And also we have come here to show our support and our love for his dear wife, our beloved sister, Rosa, and their family. But during this memorial service, we want to take time to remember and reflect on Harold's life, not his death, to reflect on his love for Rosa, for his family and his church family, and most importantly, for his love for the Lord. I don't know how many here were raised on a farm, or if you know people that have been raised on a farm. My mom was raised on a farm, and she had lots of stories for my sister and I of what it was like growing up. You might know, many of you know this, but Harold and Rosa both grew up on a farm. And I can just tell you that they're a special breed of people. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, special breed of people. I know my mom would tell me about the long days of work, sun up to sun down, their strong work ethic, their sacrifice and commitment at a level that I don't think I can really understand. Theirs was a simple life, but yet a very hard life. They had a deep devotion for family and the respect for land and authority. They would always be there for their neighbor. They were grateful for the little things and did little or no complaining. Why? Because everybody was in the same situation, and who would listen? I could go on and on. These are the things that describe Harold and Rosa. Harold and Rosa came our way here at our Northside family, I think about just over 10 years ago, and began worshiping with us and working with us. And I think it was just about 3 years that it was first announced publicly that Harold had cancer. And from that moment on, our church family lifted him up weekly, if not daily, in prayer. And that we prayed that God would cure him and give him strength to carry on. As you know, the doctors didn't really give Harold much of a chance, didn't give him much time. And we know God had a different plan. And on several occasions there, later on in the years, there was time where he and Rosa weren't able to make it here on Sunday, and we thought that maybe we wouldn't see him again. And then lo and behold, he and Rosa would show up the next Lord's Day on time, early, ready for Bible study and worship. Harold, if you looked at Harold, he was, you know, fairly unassuming, but Harold was as strong as an ox. I mean, he told me that he'd get up out of bed, and before he ever went out of the bedroom, he'd do push-ups and sit-ups. And if you ever held him or got a hold of him, you could tell he was strong physically. A couple of months ago, I just decided that maybe we should take him off the sick list. He was that determined to fight and to not give up. One of my favorite stories of Harold and Rosa is the first time that we ever went out to eat. Now, I'm thinking that Harold, you know, he's slender and he probably doesn't have much of an appetite, and Rosa, the small petite lady. I figure that this is going to be a cheap date. They're going to, you know, probably order the senior special, and or maybe even better yet, order one meal and split it and share it. No. Harold orders the biggest chicken fried steak with all the trimmings I've ever seen. And Rosa, I won't even tell you what she ordered, but she had her own lunch special. So I said, okay. Their eyes are bigger than their appetites, I'm sure. And so we're going to need takeaway boxes for leftovers. No, we didn't need the boxes. They ate everything on their plate. Again, that's the way of the farm. You don't leave anything. So I said, okay, well, wow, it's about time to go. No. The waitress came by and offered dessert, to which they said, let's see a menu. So we ordered dessert, and they ate every bit of it. They didn't even share. They got to have dessert and ate it. To which I pleasantly thought, my kind of people. Their marriage of 58 years is a witness and a testimony to all of us of what faithful love and commitment and sacrifice is. And it is isn't it wonderful how it is that they showed us how perfect it is when two people that love the Lord first and then love each other, how that can happen. Everyone here in this audience and this afternoon knows that when I speak of Harold, here is a man that was gentle yet strong. Here is a man that was humble and yet confident. Here is a man who was quiet but engaging. And here was a man that suffered and yet was at peace. We will miss our beloved brother, and we miss our friend. We miss him as a husband and a father being present with us. But make no mistake that his life and his example, his love for Rosa and his love for family and his love for the Lord will always be with us and be a constant reminder what faithfulness is. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote letters to his son in the faith, Timothy, he wrote in a second letter to him a warning and also a letter of encouragement. And in chapter 4, he tells Timothy, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering at the time, and my departure has come. He tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Harold, he fought the good fight. He finished the course. And he kept the faith. May God have that crown of righteousness for him as they meet. Let us pray. Our Father, our Creator, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have brought us all together to remember Harold, your child, your creation. We thank you, Father, for his life and for his example, for his love for you and the truth. And Father, help us to understand and be happy and joyful that he is at rest and he is at peace with you. We thank you, Father, for his family. We thank you for his wife. And Father, we ask that you comfort them in this time of loss, that you help them in their grief and in their sorrow to comfort one another. Help us to be there for them as well. And Father, we pray for Rosa, his wife of 58 years. We pray that you help her during this time, that she has been a rock in his life, and he for her, that they have grown together in so many ways. Help us to be there for her. We thank you, Father, for your love and for your kindness, for your patience, that you give us breath and that you sustain life. And Father, we also thank you for all the prayers that you answered during this entire time that he was sick, that you kept him strong, that you kept the cancer at bay, that you helped him through this time, and that you gave Rosa strength and the family strength to lift him up and bear through the pain and the suffering and the emotions that he fought for so long. And Father, we thank you for the prayers that you have answered, that his life physically is no more, but he is now at peace and with you. We thank you, Father, for this time, and help us to celebrate a man who was right with you, who loved you with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let him be, Father, as so many that we read about in your word, an example to us, and let his light continue to shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please open your hymnals to song number 5, How Great Thou Art, number 5. We'll sing all four verses of this song, and if it's convenient for you, please stand with me as we sing How Great Thou Art.
Also, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul,
please turn in your songbooks to number 208. Number 208, Sing to Me of Heaven. Wonderful words.
Dawson.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that find me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to sing to me, iron shadows of the evening call. Sing to me, of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me, of heaven, as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fair sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sing the song of all. Sing to me tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all.
It's good to see everyone here today. We are all here today to remember Brother Harold. And I don't know, we moved here about not quite 7 years ago, and that's the time we met Harold. And the only regret that I have is I didn't meet him sooner. He's quite a great individual. Good example to all of us. Cares about people. I know that there have been several of us that have taken turns to go down and visit with Harold and Rosa. And my wife and I were able to go down there, I guess it was a week prior to his passing. And Harold was in bed, but we found out we were there, even though he didn't really feel like it, I don't think. He got up and come out and wanted to visit, you know, and it was just great. It was just nice to sit around and listen to Harold. Come around time for lunch and decide what he wanted to do. He would have liked to have went downtown, but he wasn't really up to that. So we said, we're going to go pick something up. And what do you want? Well, guess what he wanted? Chicken fried steak. Yes, and he had a place where he wanted us to get it to. So we went and picked that up. And he hadn't been eating anything or drinking, because he just really wasn't up to it. And he ate that entire meal. And it was pretty good. It was great. It was just nice to spend time with Harold and Rosa. The example that he set for us there in his congregation, and his first family, I'm sure, too. I think it was the week prior to that visit, we knew that he was not doing very well. But when we got here to the building, it was here. That was great. Just so encouraging. Had to drive that far, and he was here. I'm pretty sure you can say that not everyone had that same thought that day. But he was here. The songs that we've been singing, that we're going to sing, I know Harold and Rosa picked these out. The passage that I'm going to read here shortly, they picked that out. And from the songs that we sing, we know, and now we know what Harold's focus was. You know, when we were down there and we went over to pick up that meal, we were walking around in the store over there, and you know, they got all these little cups and things with sayings on them. And there was one in there that said, life is a journey, it's not a destination. Far too often, we have a tendency of getting that turned around. We make the things in this life our destination. How sad that is. But that's not the way Harold lived. He looked past his life. He treated this life like this is my journey to get to my destination. And we have confidence that that's where Harold's at now. This is a sad time for us, but this is not as sad as most of these situations are, because we have tremendous confidence in where Harold's at this time. He wants us to be there with him too. There's a way we can be there. We will miss him for a while here, but we can see him again. How great that would be. I ask you to turn with me if you happen to have a Bible. If not, we'll just follow along. I'm going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you so as others who have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. I ask you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, our great and wonderful God, all praise and glory and honor be to you. Father, we know that we all sin, and we know that you have made a way that we can have redemption from our sins. And we know that's through the death of your Son on that cross and through our obedience to your word. Father, we are so thankful for all you do for us. And Father, at this time, as we think of Brother Harold, we are so thankful for the example that he has set for us as we have all known him. For we know that his desire was to please you, and all that we saw in his life pointed that direction. Father, we know that he fell short from time to time, but we know that he's made corrections whenever that happened. We know that, and you've forgiven him. Father, we know that he's with you. We are very confident in our brother Harold. We know that the example that he set for each one of us, for our young people, for all of us, we are so thankful for knowing this man and seeing his love for you, his love for his wife, and for his brethren, for his family. Father, we know that we are to follow your Son. And we know that Brother Harold did. And in the things that Harold did that pleased you, we want to follow in his steps in that way too. Above all, Father, we desire to someday, when this life is over for each of us, that we will have done the things that please you so that we can be with you and with Brother Harold again. Father, please be with us. Help us to think of you. Help us to think of the things that we do in this life and make sure that the things that we do here are what will get us to that goal of heaven with you. Father, we ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Please turn to number 93. Number 93. My God and I. My God and I go in the field together. We walk and talk as good men should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows here. We clasp our
number 230, this world is not my home. Number 230. We'll sing all three verses of this song.
No, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't.
Wayne Jeffries was born February 5th, 1935 in Rochelle, Texas, to Jim and Lenny Jeffries. When he was 10, his family moved to a farm east of La Junta, Colorado. While Harold was there, he was in high school. He became interested in how things worked. His family had two identical radios, except one played and one didn't. He took them apart and kept switching the tubes until he found out which one would make the other one work. Then he went to an electronics store and asked for that tube. The owner was a little surprised by this. He was surprised at the knowledge that Harold already had. And that began a relationship. Harold would visit him often, and they would discuss radios and the such. Harold had a cousin who was a teacher of electronics, and he encouraged Harold to go into that field. So when Harold graduated, he went to Houston and lived with that cousin and attended the University of Houston Technology School. After that, back in La Junta, he married Rosa Diller on August 26, 1956. He worked in a repair shop, and he could make almost anything work again. However, occasionally the repairs were too costly for customers to afford. And so Harold's boss would sell the appliance to Harold for mere pennies on the dollar to keep them from cluttering his shelves. So for over 10 years, any appliance Rosa owned was a recycled one that Harold had fixed. Harold was drafted into the United States Army. He served stateside in Fort Carson in Sacramento, California, and Fort Lewis, Washington. Harold and Rosa's daughter, Kathy, was born in Sacramento. Janet was born when they were back in La Junta. In 1966, they moved to Fowler, Colorado. Harold had been hired as a civilian at the Pueblo Army Depot to work with missiles. Later, he went on to work with communications. He was happiest when working with his hands. One of his coworkers told the boss, Harold had to get his hands into it to know what needed to be repaired. And it was Harold who would always say, just put me in a back corner with something to repair, and I'll be content. Among his many projects, he built a bi-level house. I think it's safe to say he wasn't one to sit around. Since Harold came from a farming background, he liked to garden. Many of you have enjoyed that. You have tasted of his vegetables. He also enjoyed fishing and camping. And for quite a few years, Harold and Rosa would take one grandchild and travel in their camper. They never made it to the New England states, but they hit all the others. In 1992, they decided to move to Canyon City, where they were closer to the mountains and fishing areas were easier to find. In his final years, Harold and Rosa both appreciated all of those who went in and visited him. Dennis mentioned that meal that you took to him. That was the last he would ever eat. His last meal was exactly what he wanted. He was a member of the Church of Christ for over 58 years. He focused his service on doing the maintenance work, but he was also a teacher and an elder. He's survived by his wife, Rosa, his daughter, Kathy Wade of Littleton, and his daughter, Janet Sefcovic, and her husband, Milton, in Pueblo. He has three grandsons, Jonathan Wade, who lives in Denver, Stephen Wade, who lives in Littleton, and Philip Sefcovic, who lives in Fort Collins. And he has two granddaughters, Heather Sefcovic, who lives in Pueblo, and Sarah Wade, who lives in Perales, New Mexico. He has a brother, James Jeffries, and his wife, Norma, and a sister, Marvel Griffey, who lives in Loveland, and numerous nieces and nephews. He passed away on April 3rd, 2015, and was preceded in death by his parents. It is good for us to be here. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2 says, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart." I must confess that I am sad. I am going to miss Harold. Harold was a great man. He wasn't a great leader, a great politician. He wasn't a great inventor. He was a great husband. He was a great servant. He was a great man. And one of the blessings at the end of one's life is when you can say this: the world was better off with him than it is without. I didn't know Harold in his younger days. I didn't know him in his prime. I didn't get to see him as a dad holding his baby children. All I really got to know him was in his retirement years, but it revealed an awful lot about who he was. So what was it, 3 years ago when we got word that he had cancer and the doctors gave us 6 months to prepare? God had a different idea. God gave us more time. But from that time, I started thinking, what am I going to say about Harold? You see, there are some people who you just regret having to talk at their funeral. Because what can you say? And I don't want you to take this wrong, but I look forward to talking today. I look forward to being able to talk about Harold. There's a lot that I could say. There are three things I want to point out because they were the first three things I thought of then, and nothing has changed since that time. Three things that I observed about Harold. The first was the way he read God's Word. In Bible class, he read God's Word differently than other people. When there was a question that was asked and he would read a scripture, but he wouldn't just read it. He would read it with emphasis and conviction. It says this. And it was so clear in his tone that he is saying, God has spoken and I will not argue. It is solved. It is resolved. It is known. There is no more room for debate. Such faith and such conviction. How could you miss it? The second thing I noticed, I think just about everybody at Northside noticed, and that was his dedication to the assembly, to coming together on Sunday. Every Sunday he was here. And he traveled pretty much further than anybody else. And by the way, this says something about you too, Rosa, as you guys came together. And I never once heard you complain, saying, would we move and get a building in Canyon City for you? Why'd he do that? He did it because of his conscience. There are other places he could have worshipped. He could have worshipped in Canyon City. He could have found other places. He did this because he felt he could best serve God here. And so he wouldn't complain. And he wouldn't stop. And even after he was sick and he was having trouble with everyday parts of life, he still made every effort to be here. Constantly amazing us. In a world in which people find every excuse not to worship, Harold and Rosa shine as beacons of a better example. But it is the third characteristic which impressed me the most. You learn really the most about a person when they are faced with their mortality, when they find out that their life is about to come to an end, you find out what they really think matters. Some will quit their jobs and they will go live it up. They have a bucket list. I'm going to go do all these things. And that's what they're focused on. Some will focus on their family. Some will decide, you know, I don't know what comes after death. I need to get spiritual. I need to get religious. And so they start worshiping more and they start studying more and they start becoming dedicated Christians. What does it say about a man who simply doesn't change? When Harold was told he was going to die, he didn't change. He didn't become more devoted to God because he was already devoted to God. He didn't become devoted to Rosa because he was already devoted to Rosa. He lived the life he needed to live all along. He was always prepared. What an example he set for us in this. And it had great benefit for him and to where he was not panicked about the days that were to come. He had lived his life for the moment of his death. And so he approached it with great peace and confidence. And he did not do that because he believed that everyone would go to heaven. As sadly, that is most frequently what is stated. At funerals, it's just everybody's in a better place. Harold didn't believe that. Harold believed what was to come after death. He believed the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." He believed that so much that he lived in preparation for the day that he would face the judge, so that he would not need to be ashamed. He prepared so that at any moment he would be prepared. And so he was. He understood and he practiced what Jesus instructed. Be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. So he prepared, and he was prepared, which gave him the ability and the great blessing to approach his death with confidence and peace, so he could speak just as Paul did, as was read from us from 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." He knew what reward awaited him, because he lived his life in preparation for it. And so when the doctors came and said that he was to die, it didn't change him at all. He was ready for that all along. And so it is thanks to the amazing love of God, who has offered his son Jesus on the cross for the purification of our sins, as well as Harold for so thoroughly answering the call of God, that we do not gather to mourn, but to remember and to be comforted. Harold didn't die. He merely sleeps. What was told to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you go back and you read those verses 13 through 18, only once does it mention death. Every other time it is those who are asleep in Christ. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you..." I wonder how Harold would have read this. "I will come again and receive you to myself." And so it is. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, our day is also coming. The day in which we will die. Maybe we will be granted a warning from the doctors. Or maybe it will come at the moment we least expect. But one thing is certain. It is coming. Are you as prepared as Harold? Are you ready for that moment? Are you living with such dedication to God, with such faith and devotion, that you can face your own death with peace and confidence? If not, this is your reminder. Let the living take these things to heart. Can we pray? Our great God, our Father in heaven, I have a desire to ask things regarding Harold, to ask that you would take care of him. But you have spoken. Your word is clear. And Harold has lived a life in which his light has shone. And so rather than making requests, we want to thank you. Thank you for bringing him into your presence and allowing him to see the glory of your face. Thank you for allowing him to feel the warmth of your love. Thank you for allowing him to experience the joy of the eternal life that is in your Son. We do ask that you will grant comfort to those who are on this earth without him, who miss him, and who feel great sorrow. Grant them the comfort they need and the strength. Be with his families. Be with his friends. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 214, No Tears in Heaven. Number 214. We'll sing all three verses of No Tears in Heaven.
No, no tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flowed. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we will spend an endless day. There with our Savior will be forever, where no more sorrows can dismay. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder will cease to ponder o'er things this life has brought to view. All will be clearer, saved ones be dearer, in heaven where all will be made new. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known.
Our final song, we need number 683. Number 683. Sing and be happy. Something he would want us to do. We'll sing all three verses of this song.
If the skies up above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see him, my friend. Trust in his promises grand.
Sing and be happy.
Be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust in him
who leads
you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing.
Sing and be happy.
Be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him
who leads
you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth crown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold.
Sing and
be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him
who
leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
This is my best friend. Not. Somebody remind me to take it off before I step away this time. I've been known, for those who haven't been here before, to try to walk off with this hook to me. In just a few minutes, I'm going to lead a final prayer. And following that prayer, I've just cleared it with Rosa. She would like a couple of minutes that the family can go to the back and form a line. So if the rest of us would remain seated until they are back there, and I'll just wait up here and give you a signal when it's okay to start emptying the other rows. I'm not going to repeat what everybody has said so far. I think there are a couple of points that I would like to just highlight a little bit. I think Jared hit the nail on the head with his 3 points. Two of them especially, I can attest. The time at which they got here for services. I've commented on this about, I don't know, 30 or 40 times probably. Longest distance out or close to it, and the first ones here on most occasions. Said something to me. Said a lot to me. The other thing I'd like to mention is some of those early moments here. Short discussions that Harold and I had. Harold did have quite a history in fighting for God, in defending God's cause, and he did it well. And some of the very brief at times, but some of those discussions and the principles and even into the specifics of some of the things that he had to deal with. I appreciate his sharing with me. When you're the last guy on the agenda, and you have no idea what anybody else is going to say, you have a couple of choices. You can either sit and take notes and say, okay, I'll stay away from that, or I'll talk about that. Or you can do like I did at home. You can take one of these little yellow stickies, and you can write down a few things that you think might be of meaning, that you hope will be of meaning for everybody. And that's what I did. I have about 14 words up here. I can make more out of it, but I have about 14. And the first two are moving on. And I'm prior military, but I'm not going to say that it's all just a military thing, because many of us have careers that require our moving around. But particularly in mine, and in the experience many of us have had, you meet some people again. You might move from place to place, but you're going to meet people again. They're going to be a little bit older, sometimes a lot older, but you're going to meet them again. And you're going to remember times you had before. We've experienced that. My family and I have. And I know there are others here, just in discussions, and just when we see some people come through the door, we know that they've known each other before. And that's a good thing. And there's comfort there, isn't there? Well, we're going to move on. Harold has moved on. The rest of us are going to move on as well. And I hope and I pray that someday, when somebody has to make comments about me or any of us, that we can make the same sorts of comments that were made about Harold today. And that the moving on and the seeing each other again will be in that best of all places and under the best of all possible circumstances. Moving on. Dennis described it as a journey. Commented that many of us look at life as a destination and not a journey. So moving on and journey go along. So I would just like each of us to think the best times we've known with Harold, and depending on who you are and what your relationship with him was, those are going to be different. But over the next several hours, as we probably have over the last couple of weeks, think about those times. But realize how many of those good times and those good memories are centered in his love for God. I take great comfort in that myself. And I'm positive that the family does, and that the Northside family does. That we are happy that when we do reflect on Harold, we reflect on a man who loved God. And that's what comes to mind for us. On behalf of the family, I want to thank you for your presence here this afternoon and your participation. There was a lot of singing. There were many voices singing. And it was a good thing. We want to thank you for that. I'd like you to bow, and at the conclusion of this prayer, please allow the family a couple of minutes to get to the back. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity we have had to come together and remember Harold in his service to you. We thank you for the opportunity we have had to remember him in the many different roles that he had in life, that he was a husband, a father, an employee, a repairman, many different things he did. But foremost among all, he was one of your children. And he declared you, he showed you in his life. We ask you to be with us as we leave this place today, that we would carry with us good thoughts about Harold, and that in our good thinking about Harold, that we would look at each other and we would be happy to know each other, and that we would be as determined as Harold was to make this place a better place, that we would look at each other with the kind of love that Harold looked at us with, that we would realize that each of us has potential before you and in your service, and that we would help each other develop that potential. We ask you to help us all be of the mind that we want to help everyone get to heaven and have that home with you. We thank you that Harold has moved on, and we are confident that he has moved on and has a place with you. And we pray that as our times come to move on, that we will be reunited with Harold and in your great presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Crashed. Yeah. We just used,
I call it the low-tech stuff.
Uh-oh.